I can hardly believe that it was 50 years ago when A Charlie Brown Christmas first aired. Seems unbelievable to me. But in the spring of 1965, the Coca-Cola Bottling Company decided that they wanted to sponsor a holiday special. So they approached Charles Schulz, who at that time, with his Peanuts comic strip, was wildly popular. They agreed upon the terms that he would have a holiday special. Unbelievably, they turned the entire project around in 6 months so that in December of 1965, A Charlie Brown Christmas aired on CBS. Both the producers and the network were convinced it would be a total disaster. They thought it was going to be a total bomb. There's a couple reasons for that. The first reason was this. There was no laugh track. Every animated film had a laugh track back then, but Charles Schulz said, no, people really shouldn't be told when to laugh. The second thing, the musical score was unusual because it was a mixture between jazz and classic Christmas carols, but yet it was supposed to be a children's program, so that didn't really fit. But the most controversial issue, the thing that got the most discussion, was Schulz's insistence that they tell the Luke 2 story of Christmas. From the very beginning, when Charles Schulz agreed to do the special, he said that he wanted to make sure that the true meaning of Christmas, the true point of Christmas, the true gift of Christmas would be communicated through the story. Thus, he insisted that part of the script include the reading from Luke Chapter 2. He got a lot of pushback on that, and finally at one point he looked at the producers and said, if we don't, who will? If we don't tell the true meaning of Christmas, then who will? Well, obviously he won out in the end, because near the end of the story, you may recall, an exasperated Charlie Brown cries out with the question, does anybody know what Christmas really means? Linus steps up and says, yes, Charlie Brown, I know. And then he walks out on stage. Take a look.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
I have no idea how many times I have watched A Charlie Brown Christmas. It was a staple in my household growing up. I remember that we'd have to mark it on the calendar to make sure that at a certain time on a certain day, no DVRs or VCRs back then, that we were sitting down in front of the black and white TV to watch A Charlie Brown special. I've seen it umpteen times, and yet only recently did I find out there's more going on in that scene than what I originally realized. I don't know if you caught it or not, but in the middle of the reading, Linus drops his blanket. Now, as much as Charlie Brown is known for his striped shirt, Linus is known for his security blanket. It's always with him. He's kind of an unusual character. He's one of the younger of the Peanuts gang, and yet he exhibits a maturity, an intellect, even a sophistication well beyond his years, and yet he holds on to his security blanket. Lucy, Sally, the rest of the gang try and persuade Linus to give up his blanket, all to no avail. Snoopy even tries to steal it from him, but no, he's not budging. He holds on to his blanket until he's in the middle of the Luke 2 reading. And I think that the moment that he releases the blanket is significant. As he utters the words, "Fear not," he drops the blanket. When he utters the words from the angels that say, "Fear not," and the announcement that a Savior has been born, at that moment, Linus is released from all of his fears, all of his anxieties. No longer will he cling to his blanket. He'll now cling to the baby in the manger. I couldn't confirm whether Schultz intentionally had Linus drop the blanket at that point, but I suspect that he did, because Charles Schultz didn't want the world to miss the true meaning of Christmas, as much as I don't want you to miss the true gift of Christmas. The gift of Christmas is the gift of a Savior. The gift of Christmas says that you don't have to fear anything anymore. Now, in saying that, I understand that there's plenty of things that cause us anxiety, and there's plenty of things really that should fill us up with fear. I mean, frankly, the world of 2015 is a scary place. And I hate to see what 2016 holds in store for us. I mean, all of us watched and listened in horror at the terror attacks in Paris. But it was horror and terror when it was in San Bernardino, California, practically in our backyard. We live in a world of uncertainties. When will it happen again? Where will it happen again? We have every reason to be afraid. They keep telling us that the economy is getting better. It certainly seems like that. It seems like all the signs are there that things are getting better and we're getting healthier. But if we learn nothing else from the past decade, we should have learned that all of that can change seemingly overnight, where jobs disappear and retirement accounts vanish before our very eyes, because we live in a very uncertain time. We live in an era where we conquer diseases only to have two or three more pop up that are worse than the original ones. Frankly, there are times that I think maybe I should just grab a security blanket and curl up in a corner someplace and wait till it all goes away. But it's not going away. In fact, even tonight on this Christmas Eve, I wonder what you're afraid of. I wonder what kind of anxiety and worry that you have tonight in the midst of the celebration. And some of you are surrounded by family and friends, and yet I still wonder, what are your fears? Is it something as simple as that you're worried that the gift that you got for that special someone isn't right? Or are you worried that you'll never have that special someone in your life? Is your concern that once Christmas is over, so is the marriage? Are you concerned about the doctor's appointment next Monday? Are you worried about the lab results on Tuesday? Is there a growing pit in your stomach that's gnawing at you as you keep thinking about the upcoming credit card bill that'll be due in January? Because you overdid it again. And then I wonder, and I just wonder about this one. I wonder if some of you are just a little bit uneasy and just a little bit uncomfortable, frankly, because you're sitting in church, right? Because, you know, I'm not naive enough to think that I'll see you all again on Sunday morning, right? And that's okay. It's all right, right? Church isn't your thing. You don't go to church all the time. I get that. The one thing I do know is I really appreciate the fact that you love your family and friends enough. You said, yeah, I'll go tonight. In fact, tonight, you drove way out of your way, or you walked a half a mile to get here. I mean, that's dedication on your part, so I commend you, and I'm glad that you're here. I think it's fantastic, but it is kind of, if you're honest with me and honest with yourself, it's a little uncomfortable because you're in uncharted territory here in church. And right now, your biggest concern is, how long is that guy going to talk? There's all kinds of things to be worried about. There's all kinds of fears surrounding us. And there are times that all of us would like to just grab a security blanket, hang on to it, curl up in a corner, and wait till it all goes away. But it's not going away. That's why you need to hear the angels tonight when they say, fear not. In fact, fear not is the first Christmas message. It's the first message which is delivered. The first word spoken to Zechariah to say that his wife would have John the Baptist by the angel was, fear not. The first word of the angels to Mary were fear not when they announced to her that she would be given birth to the Son of God. The first word said to the shepherds who were on the hillside was fear not. And the first words that I want you to hear tonight is fear not, because God is with us. Fear not, because God is with us. That's the gift of Christmas, that God would leave his throne in heaven, that he would grow inside the womb of Mary, and he would enter our world, that he would become one of us. Our God isn't some innate force out there. It's not some impersonal higher power. Our God is a God that can be known, that can be seen. Our God is a God that wants to know you. Our God is one that has such a love for you that he was willing to take on flesh and blood and live in your world. He was willing to become one of his own creation. What I'm saying is, fear not, God is with us. That means you're not in it alone. You're not in this alone, that God is with us in all of the muck and all of the mire of this life. God is with us. Do you all remember Y2K? You remember the mess of Y2K? That was when, on December 31st, 1999, that at the stroke of midnight, that when it switched over to 2000, that every piece of electronics was going to have a catastrophic fail. You remember that? All the gloom and doom. There was even talk that airplanes would drop out of the skies at midnight, right? To which, of course, all of the airline execs, you know, got up in front and said, there's nothing to worry about. We've known about this for years. We've taken all the precautionary methods. You'll be fine flying on New Year's Eve, right? China went one step further than that, though. China ordered all of the top execs of the airlines to be in the air at midnight. See, China can do that, right? In other words, don't just tell the people everything's going to be okay. Be alongside of them and show them that it's going to be okay. God didn't just say, hey, everything's going to be okay. God walks alongside of us and shows us that it's going to be okay. It's God with us. That means God's there at the doctor's office as you're waiting for the results. God's there with his arm around your shoulders. You're talking to your spouse or trying to find out what's going on with your kids. See, the promise that Jesus gave after he came and lived among us for 33 years, he says, I'll be with you to the end of time. That God is with us at every moment of every day. We don't have to face this alone. Fear not. God is with us. And fear not, because a Savior has been born. That's what the angels announced. They said they had good news for all people, that a Savior had been born. He is Christ the Lord, right? In that moment in time, God took care of our greatest fear, and he met our greatest need. You see, think about it. What is our greatest need? What is it that we need more than anything else? You see, if our greatest need was information, if that's what would help us out, right? If we just needed more research, we needed more data, right? Then God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need truly is the economy, it's help with finances and budget, then God would have sent an economist. In other words, if our greatest need was something that we could do something about, something that somehow we could influence, that we'd have a hand at, then God wouldn't need to come at all. But our greatest need is something that we can do absolutely nothing about, something that we're helpless. Our greatest need is forgiveness, friends. Whether we want to believe it or not, our greatest need is forgiveness. The fact is, all of us do bad things. All of us have done horrific things in our past, things that we regret, right? We've said things we never should have said. We did things we never should have done. And there are other things that we should have stepped in and we didn't step in, right? Now, here's the thing. You can't do anything about it. You can't make it right. You can't take the words back. The hurt's already done. You can't undo the action, and you can't go back and do what you should have done to begin with. You can't do anything about it, which means that all of us, to one degree or another, we live with regret, we live with remorse, and we live with guilt. The root cause of it is the bad things we do. The Bible calls it sin. Fear not. A Savior has been born. God didn't come into our world to condemn the world. If God was coming into our world to condemn the world, he certainly wouldn't come as a baby. If he was coming to condemn us, he might come in on clouds of thunder and lightning, but he's not going to come as a baby. He comes as a helpless babe to be part of our world, to be our Savior. He becomes one of us, so he can die for us, so that he can release us from our sin, release us from the regret, the remorse, and the guilt. Fear not, a Savior has been born. And know that the message is for you. The news is for you. That's what the angel said. He said, I have good news that is for all people. All nations, every tribe, men, women, young and old, churchgoers and non-churchgoers and everything in between. The news is for all people that a Savior has been born for you so that you're not alone, to release you from your past. This is the gift of Christmas. It's the gift you don't want to miss. It's the gift of God's Son. It's the gift of a Savior. It's a gift that says, fear not. Now I realize, even as I say that, that come the end of this service, and certainly come next Monday morning, as we go back out into the real world, and no doubt there'll be some headline out there that'll scare us, and I pray not, but there might be another terrorist attack out there. There'll be plenty of things that will fill us with fear. And more than likely, there'll be times we'll want to reach for our security blanket is what we're going to want to do. We're going to want to hold on to this and just curl up in a corner and hope it all goes away. That's when you need to hear the angels. In the words of Luke, you were sore afraid. But the angel said, fear not, for I have good news for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. Merry Christmas. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we live in a world that is so uncertain. And there seems to be things that would cause us fear and anxiety all around us. I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would show us that we're not alone, that the gift of Christmas, the gift of your Son, is the gift that we don't have to face it alone, but that you're with us. I pray that you would show each of us the forgiveness that was won through your Son, to release us from our past, to remove the guilt and the remorse. And Father, I just pray on this night, I pray for every person here, that you would grant to them a very merry and blessed Christmas celebration. In Jesus' name, amen.